Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Nation Network presents Coming in Hot.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot Live. I'm Brent Wallace alongside veteran NHL defenseman and Ottawa Senator Jason York. Yorkie, good afternoon. I just want to point out one thing, Yorkie.
What's that?
I am soft, and as it gets colder in the weather, I hate it.
Why are you so soft? Haven't you lived in Ottawa your whole life? Like, this isn't something new.
I spend 12 months a year in a rink with hockey. But here's the thing. Yeah. So I just got a new car. This is my world has changed. Barrhaven Ford just switched in my truck because my daughter's driving. I got her a smaller car. It's got a heated steering wheel. This is the best. I've never had one.
Really? Oh man, welcome to the world of the heating steering wheel. I've had one for a while. I love it. That's one thing I'm never giving up. Heated steering wheel, heated seats.
Yeah.
No, come on though. We're Ottawa guys. It's outdoor rink season's coming up. I'm fired up. And I have a few regrets in life. One of my biggest is I sold my house about 6 years ago that was on 2 acres of land out near Lochmarsh Golf Course. I had the best outdoor rink, and I didn't think I'd miss it this bad, but just getting out there, getting the first flood in, getting your ice, it's like Christmas for me. Now I just feel this big hole inside me, Wally. No outdoor rink. So I look at it once everybody starts posting their rinks, it's a magical time of year.
And I built a couple in my backyard. I didn't have 2 acres, and so it was much smaller, but and it's a labor of love, right? Because you're out there every night flooding and doing whatever to make that, make it perfect. And I was a disaster the first year. I didn't know how to do any of it.
Were you? Like
having a hole in it. But it is, I mean, when you can have that crisp sheet of ice, it's pretty good. It's
nothing. I tell you what, 1 year during a lockout, we weren't playing, I think it's back in 2004. And I was going out to Barbara Ann Scott to skate. Buddy there was a rink guy. I got some ice and I went out there one day. I hadn't played in a long time. The ice was flooded, just me skating out there, just hearing your skates hit the ice. And I was just kind of nerdy right now, but man, this sound is so cool. And being out there by yourself, and I don't know, I'm a little bit of a hockey nerd and the outdoor rink. I was going to start a business where I was going to be an outdoor rink consultant. I would go and help people with their outdoor rinks. I'd go out there, help a guy start it up, make sure that he's got, because I'm a big believer in the tarp. You got to have a tarp. And here's where a lot of people go wrong with their outdoor rinks, Wally. They don't get the proper tarp. They cheap out, they go to Home Depot, or they go to one of those stores, and they don't get the thick tarp. You got to go to a farm supply store where they have those tarps that they use to cover up the bales of hay. Those are what you need, because it's a lot tougher for you. Did you go to the farm store or did you cheap out?
I know the answer. I wasn't aware of the farm sheets, tarps. So I ordered from a company online. They say, we do outdoor rinks. Yeah.
Needless to say, you got a hole in your tarp. Water came out and it was a disaster.
Yes, and I could never stop the leak. Anyway, let's Could have used some Renfrew Pro tape. Speaking of which, this show is always brought to you by Renfrew Pro. Go to renfrewpro.com. They have a gazillion different kinds of hockey tape for you. They're the inventors of shin pad tape. They do it all. They're the ones with the green core. Get them at all the major retailers, Pro Hockey Life, Sport Check, and Canadian Tire, to name a few. Remember, the ones with the green core, Renfrew Pro tape. They are basically holding this show together. Yorkie, I need to do – let's do Alfie first, shall we? Alfie last night, the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's the one that's got to go first. They give him the first speech of the night. That's never easy. It was emotional for sure. We saw Henrik, his brother, emotional watching the speech. Reds and Phillips and Nealer. Fisher was there. Andy Dackel and a couple others, I believe, of teammates. Nice to see the turnout. Pierre Dorion was there as well. Alfie did a great job.
I took batting practice with Daniel Offerton back when we played for the Sens. We went to Ottawa Lynx Stadium. Alfie, Reds, bunch of guys. I've told this story to you before.
No.
I'll tell it again anyhow. So Alfie had never played baseball before. He's holding the bat with his hands separated. Gets up, misses on the first one, and then knocks one out of the ballpark. Hits it over the fence at Lynx Stadium. And that's what he did last night with his speech. I thought he knocked it out of the park. That, so much class, his delivery. I chatted with him a couple weeks ago. He was really working on that speech, and he put a lot of thought towards it. I thought he thanked all the right people, and he's just such a humble guy. Very little of the speech was about him. It was about, number one, thanking people. And then touching on mental health, touching on sport in general. And it was just, I thought it was the best speech of the night. Obviously I'm biased, but you could tell it really came from the heart. And I know, you know, Alfie quite well, I know him, and anybody that doesn't, I think he got a chance to kind of get to know him through that speech of what he's all about. And incredible. What a night. Hey, by the way, how good did BB look last night? I haven't seen BB in a long time, all dressed up. The Alfredson, Alfie with the tight suit on. It was, the kids were there. It's just, I felt really good for him. The people of Ottawa felt really good for him. And like I said, knocked it out of the park with that speech. Unbelievable.
He is as genuine as they come. And you know that when just the work he's done around the city, he is as honest and open as anybody I've met as an athlete. I wish this is one of those moments where I really wish Brian Murray were still around to talk, because I think the bond that those two had, the stories that Brian Murray could possibly share about Alfie, would be huge. And that's one person that's sorely missed, John Muckler being another for sure, is just the stories that those guys could tell about those players. And it's obviously a void. I really wish Brian Murray were around to talk about Daniel Alfredson for sure. You could hear it and see it in his speech about what those two meant to each other.
For sure. Well, he's the one that brought Daniel Alfredson back into the fold and kind of mended those fences between Eugene Melnyk and Daniel Alfredson. And the one thing Alfie said in his speech about best bench coach in Brian Murray, and that's when Alfie played his best hockey, when he was playing for Brian Murray. He really took his game to another level. And I played for Brian twice. I had him in Detroit. I had him again in Anaheim. He's just a great person. And I'm saying that, and Brian Murray traded me. Brian Murray traded me away to Nashville, and I had went through some hard times, but he's just one of those guys you can't stay mad at. he's a good person, and everybody here in Ottawa knows what he's all about. He's originally a school teacher. He did so much for this franchise here in Ottawa, taking it to the next level. And just personality, and he's, as anyone that knows Brian Murray, he is a very witty guy. He's got that sense of humor that is so good. And one quick story on Brian Murray, and Brian wasn't a great skater or anything, and when he coached and he'd get pissed off at practice, he'd stop drills. I remember playing in Anaheim. Korea was there, Solani, and Brian was so ticked off during practice. He's like, "That's it. Stop the drill. Guys, all I want you to do is pass the puck on the goddamn stick." He grabs the puck, All right, come with me. And Korea went with him, and Brian's skating down the ice in super slow motion, passing the puck back and forth, goes down, takes a slap around the net and scores, puts his hands up. And then after that, we started practicing well because we had a good chuckle at Brian. And it's just the type of guy he was. And that's why guys loved him. That's why guys loved playing for him. And that's why I still have good things to say about Brian Murray. You didn't know when I was there, like a lot of I got traded away for a dollar bill, but hockey's a business. You don't stay mad at people. And I'm with you. You can see when Alfie spoke about Brian Murray, a little bit choked up, and great. It was great how he hit on Brian Murray in that speech as well.
Very well done for a number of reasons. And congrats to Alfie once again for being a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. And it's great for this city as well. Not so great was the game just beforehand that led up to the Hall of Fame, and that's Ottawa dropping its fifth straight game at home to the New York Islanders. No Thomas Chabot, no Artem Zub, no Josh Norris, as we all know. So, Yorkie, what did you take out of that game?
Thought they played pretty good. Thought they could have won that hockey game. Unfortunate bounce on the one goal. Holden gets the puck and maybe throws it around the boards when he didn't really have to. Goes right to the point, and then a redirection shot. And that was pretty well the difference of the game. But Ottawa had their opportunities. I think if I'm going to say one negative thing out of that game was the power play. They had a chance to get some momentum with the power play. They didn't get it done. So if you want to look at special teams, I would put my finger on power play of a reason why they didn't come out on top of that game. But like you said, you just said it. No Norris, no Zub.
And now no Yorkie.
Yeah.
As he is. Oh, there, you're back.
Yeah, I'm back. I got a bad internet connection today. I don't know what's going on. I think everybody here in Westboro must be on their computer right now as we're speaking. But just to finish off before I cut off, Wally, it was if you look at the lineup with defensemen right now, that's a very good New York Islanders hockey team. And I will say this about the Islanders. They make you battle for every inch of space on the ice. They play hard, and they've got a lot of experienced veteran guys. Their defense is a lot better than people give it credit for. In goaltending, you look at their goaltenders' numbers. Their goalies have been excellent. I thought, not that you're going to say it was Talbot's fault, but the one goal I didn't like in that game, the first goal that came outside the dots, I think it was the first power play goal of the game on Talbot, beats him far side. I know the puck came across ice. Anders Lee passed the puck over. I forget which guy scored it for the Islanders, but I thought Talbot could have had that Wallstad. One. That's one. It was Wallstad's goal. I didn't really like that goal, Wally. I think that's one. Yeah. He's got to have that one. I know it was a perfect shot, but again, when your team is struggling and you need a win, that's a save I would say your goalie needs to have.
So a lot of emphasis on Jake Sanderson. I don't know how much, I mean, I'm sure you watch the blue line, pretty intently being a defenseman. Jake played 25 minutes. Eric Brandstrom played over 22. And Jacob Larson, I think, played 16. I thought he was okay. Did you pay attention to Larson's game at all?
I didn't notice him. So it's a good thing. He didn't make any mistakes. Didn't screw up. I thought he looked like an NHL defenseman. I thought he came in and handled himself quite well, played simple, was effective. I thought Ottawa's deep played pretty good, Wally. There wasn't a lot of mistakes. They had an opportunity to win this game. They were in the game, and you can see, though, and a lot of people have been shitting on Thomas Chabot, you don't have Chabot in the lineup, end of the game. Probably could have used him there for that last 2 minutes. You could have used Chabot there. It probably helps your power play out as well in that game. So, and before Chabot got hurt, I thought he was playing one of his best games of the season. I thought he was very good against Philadelphia. And now he's out of the lineup along with Zub. And those are massive holes. Your number one defenseman, your number two defenseman, your shutdown guy in Zub, and your number one center in Josh Norris. I know teams have to deal with injuries, but this team where they're at right now, if you want to say one reason, injuries. It's just too many key guys are hurt right now.
Okay, but you can't, York, you played 13 years. You can't use injuries as an excuse. Every team goes through it. You have to find a way and have backup players to fill in, to put into those positions to succeed. I know not everybody has a Josh Norris waiting in the minors to play, but you've got to find a way to get through that. Everybody battles injuries.
The problem is this team was built with the strength on the wings. We talked about this last show, Wally. The strength of the Ottawa Senators was built along the wings. And I keep saying this. Everybody was ready to size up the rings and talk about how great this team was going to be this year. Yeehaw, here we go, playoffs. Look at the center ice position. I talk about the defense all the time. This is going to be a great hockey team. But there's a process. You have to take the steps. Shane Pinto is a great player. People were talking about Pinto, though, before the season, like he's just going to step into the lineup and all of a sudden there's going to be no hiccups. He's off to a great start. He's had some goals. He's played well, but that's asking a lot if you look at the number one and the number two center iceman on this team for Tim Stützle, Shane Pinto, Kastelic, who's a rookie in this league or a young guy as well, and you've got Derek Brassard, who's doing exactly what he should be doing. If you're not, it's going to be really tough to be a playoff team if you're that young down the middle. Add on the fact that you look at the blue line with the injuries, and all of a sudden, let's be honest, Jake Sanderson, did anybody think he was going to be this good coming in right away? We all thought he's got tons of potential, but you know how much they're asking of this guy right now to do what he's doing? 25 minutes, power play, PK. It's unheard of for a defenseman to come in and play this much right away. It never happens. Here's a question for you. Where would the Ottawa Senators be right now if Jake Sanderson wasn't playing this well? So back to my point about the summer, they didn't address the blue line. And now you get a couple injuries and you got to ask all of this out of a Sanderson. All of a sudden, Bernard Docker's up playing close to 20 minutes. So it's the makeup of this team, in my opinion, has always been to be a very good team 1.5 to 2 years from now. Maybe contend to be a playoff team if everyone's healthy. But if you have injuries with a young team that's growing, it's a lot tougher versus a Boston Bruins team that has injuries because they already have veteran experience. They've been there. They've done that. Brady Tkachuk, as much as I love him, much I think he's a great player. How about that pass, by the way, last night? He's still getting better. Like, he's still learning the league, and same with Drake Batherson. That's why you see a guy like Drake Batherson, who's sometimes inconsistent, and then you see him, he looks like a superstar, because that's what young players do. Young players, the biggest thing they have to battle is doing it every single night, and that's why veteran guys like a Patrice Bergeron, I played with Patrice Bergeron when he was the same age as a lot of these guys on the Ottawa Senators right now. I was in Boston in 2007 when Bergeron was on that team. Patrice Bergeron didn't play like he did then, like he does now. He is the player he is now.
For sure.
Because it took years. It took experience. It takes reps. So people really need to temper their expectations with this hockey club. The problem was, the general manager came out and he was all excited. And to me, he put undue pressure. And listen, I know why they're doing it. You got to get the hype back. You got to sell tickets. So part of the reason you go out and you sign a guy like Alex DeBrincat, it gets the city excited. How excited was Ottawa this summer? Claude Giroux. I'm signing Claude Giroux no matter what if I can get him, because I think he's exactly what this team needs. He's been excellent. We can talk more about his point streak later. But I look at that DeBrincat signing. To me, that's more of a signing to get everybody excited. And I think it was a good thing because the city needed that. The city hasn't felt like this in a long time. But the problem is, all of a sudden, the team starts playing like the way they're built. Not deep enough on the blue line, inexperienced at the center ice position. And then it's, to me, it's no surprise they are where they are because of the injuries. Even if they're healthy, they're still going to battle to win games because they're a growing team. It doesn't matter how good your wingers are. You got to be good down the middle and good on the blue line. I don't care how good your wingers are.
Okay. All right. So a lot to unpack. But one of the things is, that general manager has to sell hope because he's trying to sell tickets. So every summer it's about selling hope. I get it. Sometimes you say too many things that you shouldn't. That was this summer. The problem is, since Pierre Dorion has been general manager, the Ottawa Senators are 28th in the league overall. And since DJ Smith has been the head coach, the Ottawa Senators are 28th overall in the league. It seems to me, Yorkie, based on all the hype that we were fed in the summer, that there's something amiss. So either the general manager is at fault here, or the head coach or coaching staff is at fault here. And there has to be somebody. So is it time? I know we're 15 games in, and they booed Lindy Ruff at the beginning of the year, and now they're cheering for Lindy Ruff because he's doing a phenomenal job. I understand you can flip in a heartbeat. Does there need to be some kind of change here from one of those positions in order to move this team forward?
So the number one reason this team is struggling right now, because I do believe if Norris doesn't get hurt, Zub doesn't get hurt, and now Shabbat, this team has a little bit better record than they do right now. They're probably right where Dorion said they would be, competing to be in that eighth seed, probably somewhere between 10 through 7. That's probably where they're at, because Zub's a really good player. And Norris was off to a great start. Like, he was playing that PK role. So injury is number one. So do they need to make a change? I'm a firm believer. We'll address the coaching right now. I don't think this team is quitting on their coach. I don't think they're losing games because they're being outworked. I don't think this is a structural thing. When I watch games, I don't think it's from a lack of structure. I really believe it's from a lack of experience throughout the lineup. Your number one center, it's his first full year playing the position. Your number two center is a rookie. It's his first year playing in the NHL. Your decor is being led by a rookie right now whose first year in the NHL. You got that. Like, it's crazy. So does Pierre Dorion need to be fired for getting everybody fired up in the summertime and selling tickets? I think he's assembled a pretty nice team. I think the one thing he's guilty of is setting the bar too high. But in saying that, I know why he did it. This team was at a point where it's for sale. We all know that. There's a for sale sign on the front lawn of the Ottawa Senators right now. If you don't come out in the summer and try and sell hope, make that signing of DeBrincat Giroux, you're not going to see that season ticket surge we saw in the summer. So that is 100% part of the reason why they're doing things, why they're talking that way. And you always got to sell hope. I don't think either of them deserve to be fired right now, to tell you the truth. I'd like to see DJ Smith get a little more rope here. I said this, Wally, the 20-game mark, I want to see 20 games. If this team continues to struggle and I see some players getting it worked, then you talk about. But the new coach isn't going to change anything right now. The way this team is built, the injuries and everything, it's a tough league to win in, man. It's a tough league, especially when you're missing key guys and you're young to begin with.
Okay, so Yorkie, then put your player helmet back on. Maybe use a Jofa if you need to, and that sit on the bench. And tell me what it's like to go through these games where it looks like, are they getting ornery with one another? Are they upset with mistakes? Losing starts to get negative really quick. So how do they stay positive? And what do you think is going on right now amongst the players?
Well, I would say the leadership group, I'd say Claude Giroux is telling the guys, stay together. One thing we don't want to do is be going out for lunch and saying, this guy's not doing his job. And why is this guy getting this? And here's the key to coaching 101, Wally. I coached for a while, albeit not at the NHL level. You got three groups on your team.
As you wear your Kempville 73 sweatshirt.
This is the key to coaching 101. You see that? A little shout out to Kempville. You have three groups on your team. You have your top guys. They play all the time. They're happy. They're happy with the coach. Everything's great. Then you have your mid-tier guys. They're like Switzerland. They don't really care about they think their role is fine. They're not ruffling any feathers. They like the coach. They're indifferent. Then you got your bottom part of your roster. They're not playing much. You're getting scratched. Maybe it's an older guy. And these guys are a little negative. You're always going to have guys like that. A good coach makes sure that the middle tier, Switzerland, doesn't go to the bad side. Because as soon as that middle tier goes to the bad side, you're getting fired. That's coaching 101. That's coaching 101.
So
every team have I've you played on.
Have you played on a team that's quit on the coach, for lack of a better term?
I don't think anybody ever doesn't try. I think guys can bring negative energy to the rink. And when you start bringing negative, if you're always going to have a guy that's unhappy. He's not playing. He's not happy with his role. He probably goes for lunch with a guy on the team and they bitch about the coach. That's like a business. That's any walk of life. And that's what happens in NHL. What's this coach is an idiot. He never plays me. Then you sit up in the press box and you hope somebody doesn't get hurt, but you hope somebody plays shitty because you want to get in the lineup. You're not getting back in the lineup when the team's playing well. So you're up in the press box hoping somebody screws up. Believe me, that's every single team if when you're winning or losing. But now you start losing and you got guys that maybe are a little not happy. Why I'm still not playing and we're losing. So, yeah, it's every single team's like that. And this is the test for a team like the Ottawa Senators right now. And this is when you have to have strong leadership because the leaders are the guys that nip that in the butt. They grab a guy, they see that, and they say, start being a team guy. You get your opportunity, work hard, and tell them all the right things. But if you get too many negative guys, and I've been on some bad teams where two-thirds of the team hates the coach, and then that's when you know a move is going to be coming, and then you just wait. You're just waiting. You're still playing hard because you're a professional, and you go out and you work hard, but your body language and you just – You're not respecting the coach anymore. You're not outly in front of him doing it, but people are talking about the coach. People are saying he's dumb. People are saying he doesn't know what he's doing. Why don't we get this coach? That's not what's happening with the Ottawa Senators right now. I'll tell you that right now. That's not happening with them right now. If it does, then it's immediately time to change coaches, but they're not there right now. And I do believe, and I said this before, it's not a structure thing. I think it's an inexperience thing. And I think it's a lack of having the proper guys in the positions that you need to win in NHL, defense, center ice position. And if you look where the Senators are the youngest, it's those two positions. And the veterans the Senators do have on the defense position, Zaitsev was one of them. And we saw what happened with Zaitsev. He didn't play very well. Holden's another one, and Hamonic's the other one. So your older guys are the lesser talented guys in your blue line too, which good teams usually have their older guys are your better players on those positions.
Nobody likes your voice of reason, okay? We want carnage, I know, and we want blood.
Okay? Everybody wants blood. Hey. I get it. Everybody wants a head. You want a head on a platter. You want somebody. They're not there.
I want answers.
Trust me. They're not there
all
yet.
Right.
Pretty. If it keeps up,
okay,
though,
fine.
If it keeps up, the voice of reason will be gone.
I want to move on. You brought up Claude Giroux and his leadership. Definitely off the ice. On the ice, I think he's done the same, and maybe you can.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but Claude Giroux, he's now on a 9-game point streak, which is one off his career high of 10, which he's done twice in his career. He has been every bit worth every penny, as far as I can tell. And I think this is now 15 times in his career he's had a point streak of 6 games or more. He's just put up really good numbers. And because I like silly puns, I called it Lock and Claude.
Well done, Wally. You're
creative. I spent all night on that. In fact, his 10-gamer in March of 2018 led into the next season. In fact, it was 14 games where he picked up a point. But because the season ended, they stopped the streak. And just before that, he had an 8-game point streak, had 1 game without a point, and then had the next 14 games with points. Like, he is a phenomenal hockey player that plays in an era with Sidney Crosby, right, and Alex Ovechkin and all these guys where he doesn't perhaps get the attention. But for 15 years, he has done it all on the ice and taken his team to a cup final. He just couldn't get them to win.
Yeah, I agree, Wally. Everything you just said there. He's come in. He's been better than advertised. He's been the points. Also, too, you watch him play. He doesn't float around out there. He's not out there kind of cheating offensively. He's playing hard. He's playing that 200-foot game you talk about all the time. He tracks hard. He comes in on the forecheck, finishes hits. He's been great on draws. And, no, it's been, like I said the other day, Pierre Dorion, best move of the summer, bringing in Claude Giroux, signing Claude Giroux. And he wants to be here. And that's infectious on the rest of the team, that type of attitude. And with this team struggling right now, Claude Giroux's become even more important because he's going to be the guy that really helps a young captain like Brady Tkachuk. He's going to back him up. He's going to be there on his corner. And between Tkachuk, Giroux, some of the other older players, maybe a Holden, they keep guys on the straight and narrow. But I agree. He's been great and putting up points. So, he's been a great addition. 100% agree with you there, Wally.
It'll be interesting to see if he can keep that up as the Buffalo Sabres come to town tomorrow and Craig Anderson in tow. By the way, the Coming In Hot Show brought to you by BEI, as always, Bonisher Excavating Inc. They are the leaders in excavating in the Ottawa Valley. If you're looking to do some landscaping or redo your driveway, aggregate stone, all that stuff, they've got it. Give them a call, 613-432-1120. They're also looking to hire if you are in the area. I would like to send an application. Go to BonisherExcavating.com. BEI. Helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. Craig Anderson, as I said, comes to town. This is his first game. I'm hoping he plays. I can't imagine he doesn't play, but maybe I'm wrong. This will be his first game in Ottawa since he left the Sens, and it'll be his first game as a visitor since December 30th, 2009. Craig Anderson, by the way, as a visitor at the CTC, has never lost. He is 3-0. All those games, by the way, were members, I think, of Colorado. However, that's just a stat if you're looking to bet. It'll be interesting to see, and I'd like to see the fan reaction to him being back in the building.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a guy that ends up in the Ring of Honor for the Ottawa Senators. You look at importance, what he did while he was here. Like he's a pretty integral part of the Senators' history. All those teams, and I always say this about Craig Anderson. I think he's the best goaltender to play on a bad team. He's one of the and people. What does that mean? But there's certain guys that are wired that they're just able to elevate their game, and they love facing a high volume of shots, and they're able to make saves you're not supposed to make. You know, those saves, people know, because Anderson made a ton of them on a lot of those Ottawa Senators teams. I remember him when he was with Colorado, the year they were, I forget what the year was, they were supposed to finish last. They were a rebuilding team. They had all those young players that were just starting to get going. And Anderson was the front runner for the MVP up until December. He was lights out. But it was one of those teams that they were predicted to finish last. Anderson was the first star in most of those games. And I remember some of those bad Senators teams. It was the same thing. He would keep them in so many games. And just, he's great for a young team. He's just that guy with a chip on his shoulder. He's got no hair. He's bald. He's very pale and probably didn't get a lot of girls in school, Wally. And he's got a chip on his shoulder. So he's like, I'm going to show you guys. I'm just trying to think of a reason. And but he's a great goaltender. He's a great goaltender, especially when you count him out. And that's why he's still playing. What is he, 42 now? How old is he?
He is the he's 41. He's the oldest goalie playing in the National Hockey League. He's, I think, three and a half years older than the next goalie, which is Marc-Andre Fleury.
He loves proving people wrong. He's one of those guys that he's got that intestinal fortitude inside of him. He's a battler. And I remember I was doing some radio. I come into the dressing room. I always thought he's kind of crusty too. He's just one of those guys, but it's part of his makeup. Yeah. And if you're a defenseman or a player on that team, you love a guy like that back there because he battles. He's never out of a play. That's the one thing with Anderson. He's one of those guys, you never count him out. And long and behold, he's the oldest guy in the league right now. Still with a chip on his shoulder, still proving people wrong. I think he's a great story.
By the way, all the people offended who may be follically challenged, you can Twitter contact Jason York, by the way. Jason York 33, I think, is your Twitter email. By the way, Jordy says that Andy is playing tonight, which is disappointing. You would think he'd play in Ottawa. But maybe. Yeah, they've lost five in a row, Yorkie. Maybe when Buffalo comes to town, what if Andy posts a shutout the night before?
I'd go with him again. Yeah. Especially if he
faces you can't play back-to-back games is stupid.
It's dumb. You know what else is dumb?
Tell Grant Fuhr that.
You know what else is dumb? Not being able to talk to goalies at the pregame skate. when I was working for the Montreal Canadiens and I was doing the color, you were not allowed to speak to Carey Price on game day. And I'm like, okay, hold on a second here. It's 10:30 in the morning. You're going to go home, have your nap, play with your kids, run around, maybe stop off at a restaurant. But you can't talk at the rink about stuff because, oh, no, it's going to throw you off for your game. But then you'd run into a guy like, I think it was it Craig Binnington. I remember talking to Craig Binnington, having one of the best years of his life. He talked to this guy for 20 minutes in the morning. He's cracking jokes, loose. And I don't get it. I was going to say I get it. But no, because it's in the morning. If you're going to start your pregame warm-up in the morning and you're going to be in the zone from 10 o'clock in the morning till 8 p.m. at night, you're going to be exhausted by the time game time comes. That's a crock of shit about the goaltender not being able to talk to in the morning. It was funny. When you go from a player to that, it's like, wow, this doesn't make any sense.
And my perfect example I always use is Marty Brodeur. Because Marty Brodeur would talk to you for a half hour to 45 minutes just sitting in the room chatting about anything. So if one of the game's greatest goalies can chat with you on the game day morning, they all should.
Okay, I get it. 2 hours before the game. I think anything before noon, like you're not dialing in for the game. It's impossible. It's just a way it's a Montreal thing.
it's lots. There's lots of people that anyway, that's one of the ones that always bug me. I always tell the story. I've covered three Daytona 500s, and I think of if you 5 minutes before the race, you can actually talk to all the drivers. You can walk pit lane. You can do all that stuff. And I'm thinking they're about to get into a car, possibly have a serious accident, which is very possible, right? There's a fear factor.
Yeah.
If they can chat with you about anything and anything, I figure a goalie could probably have a chat with you about who he's facing tonight, an Alex Ovechkin or whatever. That's all. Anyway,
it's good to go off topic. That's what podcasts are all about. Ron Tugnutt, here's a guy, when he got to the rink for game time, you weren't allowed to talk to him. And I didn't know this about Tugger when he was playing with Ottawa. And Wade Redden and I, we had this game where we'd try and talk to him to get him to say something. And it was 2 hours for the game. He'd be sitting in his stall. He had the same routine every time. He taped his stick the same way. Everything was the exact same. And I joke about this with Tugger now, because he said later on in his career, he started talking, because he goes, I was crazy. Like, I would sit there, not talk. I was expending so much of this energy to be in the zone for 2 hours for the game. It was crazy. So Reds and I would like talk to him. He wouldn't even look at us. But that's what some guys do. You get in a routine and maybe you have a good game and all of a sudden it works for you. You keep doing it. Paul Kariya was the same way, by the way. He wouldn't speak at all before the game. Just so razor focused. And I get that 2 hours worth of the game, but like I said, the stuff in the morning, like, give me a break.
Which player, I'm trying to think here, was the most, when it came to routine, superstition, whatever, like the oddest of all?
Paul Kariya. Paul Kariya by far, Wally. He had a little mat he would put out in front of his stall. And before the game, he had this routine where one foot went on the mat first, then the other foot. And then he had this thing going on in his brain where he did the exact same stretching at the exact same time. And everything was a ritual. It was insane. Like, it was, he called it the quiet room. So I would sneak into the quiet room with him and go and stretch there. And it was back in one of the dressing rooms. So Kriya's in there doing his stretching. He's doing his wrists. He's doing all this. And I'd go in there and was trying to talk to him, not getting anything back from him. I'm doing my stretches in there too. And I'm like, well, I guess I better leave him alone because he's our best player. And if I get him off his routine, it's probably not a good thing. So Kriya and I would go in the quiet room for about 20 minutes, do our stretches, no words were exchanged. I'm like, well, this is no fun. So after about 10 games, went to another room and started playing ping pong with some of the guys. Because I was one of those guys, if I was quiet before a game and I thought about stuff, it would get me anxious. So I needed to do stuff, stretch. I would actually go out for warm-up, Wally, and I would take all my gear off after warm-up, everything. And then I'd get unchanged, I'd go take a shower, and I'd go in the hall and I'd jump around and do some biometrics, and I'd race back into the room with like 6 minutes to go before the coach came in and put all my gear right back on, and then I'd go out to play. And after every single period, I took my gear off. I was exhausted at the end of the game, not only from playing, but taking my gear off and putting it back on and taping and doing all this stuff. I'm thinking, now what the hell was I thinking? Like, save a little energy for the game. But it was my routine. It was a stupid routine I started doing. And then you just stick by it. You're like, man, I played the NHL now for 5, 6, whatever games. I better keep doing it. Otherwise, I'm not going to. You talk yourself into doing things because you think if you don't keep doing it, something bad's going to happen. That's how superstitious and crazy hockey players are. It's nuts.
How many players were getting fully undressed? Like, I'm thinking most guys just sit with maybe take the shoulder pads off.
Not many, because it's a lot of work, as you know.
You gotta
get the skates on, you gotta put your tape on. It's a lot. I had a system when I went on for warm-up. I would put no tape on my shin pads. I would for the old garter belt, I only do up two of the straps instead of four. I wouldn't zip up my shoulder pads all the way. So I needed one of those Teflon or one of those all Velcro suits. You could just whoosh, and take it off because it was exhausting. Wally, I'm tired talking about it right now. How stupid was I?
All right.
Maybe I would have played longer if I didn't do that.
That's a lot of work. So let's move to the you know what? Someday we're gonna have to have a conversation about bikes post game, but that's a whole other day. If the Sens lose tomorrow, so now we're at 15 game, we're 16 games into the year, six straight losses at home. Like, does the fan base just have to sit around and watch that? Does there need to be change? I know we've gone through this and you say DJ doesn't need to go and all that stuff and there's injuries, there's nothing. I don't see an improvement.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you seeing them getting badly outplayed in games?
No, they've lost every game by one goal minus the empty net goals. And Alex, put up the board of 15 games in again, please.
Yeah, I think if Bruce Boudreau's not getting fired right now, then nobody deserves to get fired. If you look what's going on in Vancouver, that you're looking after the 15 games. The stats don't look good, and I'm not sitting here trying to defend DJ Smith and say, you shouldn't fire him. I just think the sample size, the injuries, is he going to be the coach that gets this team to the next level? I don't know. Everyone's talking about Claude Julien. He's here. He's living in town.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of rumors about Claude. The one thing I will say, I wouldn't see Barry Trotz coming in to coach the Ottawa Senators if they do decide to go down that road. I would say it would be a Claude Julien. I think that would be I played for Barry, and I know Claude quite well. Both great guys, both great people, both very good coaches. Claude would be a guy that would be good for a young team. Barry's more of a guy. Barry Trotz's greatest strength as a coach is to be able to get guys to play hard, to work hard, and to you're almost playing for Barry because you don't want to let Barry down because he's such a good guy. He's such a good person. And if you ever have a bad game, you actually feel bad. You're like, man, I let Trotzy down. This guy is so good to me. We don't practice that hard. He's a great human being. And I remember one story here about Barry Trotz. We were on about an 8-game losing streak in Nashville, and we had a closed door meeting after the game. And we got up, I got up, a couple other guys got up, and they said, "Guys, we got to start winning because if we don't, Trotzy's going to get fired, and we are going to get a real asshole in here. So we better start winning some games. You can get a Mike Keenan or somebody like this." So we started winning games, and that's the thing with guys like that. And that's the thing of coaching. Good coaches have the ability to get players to feel like the coach is side by side with you. He's in it with you. He cares about you as a person. He wants you to do well. He's not just there for himself. He's there for you. And that's Barry Trotz to a tease. Man, he's a good guy. I've got so many good stories about Barry Trotz, so many good things to say about this guy. And anybody that's ever played for Trotz, he will tell you the same thing. He's a great human being, Wally.
He is. And I've met him a couple of times. He was at the World Championships with me one year. Phenomenal human being. I quite like him. But I do know what you're saying. Yeah. There needs to be I don't mean it. I don't know what else to use, but a structure guy.
Structure?
They need Jacques Martin. I want to see him come back and coach this team.
Hey, Jacques's a great coach. Jacques is really good for teams that are young and learning.
He's perfect.
Hey, I'm going to ask you this. I'll make you the specialist here. What type of structure do the Ottawa, what are they lacking in their structure right now? In your opinion, in your humble opinion, what do they need to change in their structure to help them win games? Cool. Like, what do you think?
Their positioning on the ice just doesn't seem right.
Because there's open guys in front of the net sometimes, and there's breakdowns.
Missed assignments.
So here's the thing with hockey. There's only so many – hockey's not football. You don't stop and – I'm not telling anybody something they don't know – hockey, a lot of it's on the players where you got to make split-second decisions. And playing D zone is not rocket science. There's only a couple ways you can do it. You play zone, you play man on man. Some teams, I hate man on man because if you lose your guy, and especially playing against a really talented guy like a Matthew Barzell with great edge work, you play man on man, he's going to burn you. You need help. I love layers in the defensive zone, especially for a young team. You play layers where they got to get to the net. You got to get through a couple guys. The problem with the Senators right now, a couple goals on mine, that one game where they where Brännström turned the puck over late in the game, right before that, Hamonic got out battled. Those aren't structure things. It's just lack of talent, lack of – sometimes the other guy's just better, and that's unfortunately the case here with some of the key positions with the Ottawa Senators where they're lacking what other teams are. And that's – if you have a really bad team – I'll go back to how when I was with the Ottawa Senators early on, we were so structured that we practiced dumping the puck in properly. We had two ways we could dump the puck in. It was either soft chip, hard around, and we actually practiced dump-ins. We practiced line changes. We practiced all the little things that if you did them, kind of like the way Bill Belichick teams play, where you do those little things and they increase your percentage of winning. But whenever time I watch Ottawa, I don't think they're poor at those things. Like the other night, I showed the example of Tim Stützle backchecking and just not backchecking all the way back to the house, and then he's not in the right position. Part of the reason, he hasn't played that position for a long enough time. He was a winger. Wingers come back into the zone differently than center icemen. It's a learning curve that a lot of the guys on this team are going through. So I don't know. How many coaches does this team have right now? There's five of them. Like every coach in the league pretty well teaches the same system, the same structure, the same forecheck. You go one guy in, you go two guys in, or you hold back and you play a trap. Can you practice certain things more often than others? Sure you can. But I've watched the Senators practice. I think they practice pretty well. I really think it's, for me, it's a personnel thing. Number one reason the Senators are where they are right now is they did not bring in a defenseman, and it is biting them in the ass right now, big time, especially with the injuries. They spent the money on a winger, and it's not DeBrincat's fault they're losing right now because I think he's played very well, but they are overloaded on the wings with talent and not deep down the middle and on the blue line, and that's... Those are the two. Back to your point about structure, Wally. Your two most important guys in the D zone for structure, that were the most heavily counted on positional players, are your defense and your centers. Your wingers are up high in the zone. So, if you spend all the money on your wingers and your centers are like that, you're going to have structure breakdowns. You have structure breakdowns. They happen down low, and it's happening with the Ottawa Senators because those are their two weakest positions. And it will get better. It's just that's the way the team's built. So I would put it more on Dorian than I would on DJ right now. That's just me.
But it's going to get better, but they've got to make a move for it to get better, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they're in dire need of doing a move right now to help that position. And we're all hearing they're trying to make a move. Everyone's get in line. Look at the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. The move should have been made earlier. It should have been made earlier. And I personally...
Right, because now that you're losing, you don't have any strength to make the deal, right? Like you are the guy that's coming with your hand out. So now everybody's asking for the moon because they know you're struggling.
I personally wouldn't have signed or traded for Alex DeBrincat, even though you got the 40 goal scorer and all that, because I didn't think that was a weakness of this hockey club. I think the way that's trending, Stützle's going to score goals, Tkachuk's going to score goals, Batherson's going to score goals, Norris scored 35, Pinto's scoring goals. So why do you need more goals?
Because it's now fun. You gotta figure it out. Okay.
I know it's fun, but you don't win that way. Like everybody says, I'm a defenseman. I'm biased. I get it.
I know. Yeah. It's not about stopping the puck. I want entertainment.
I would have, number one, I watched that game last night, and I always, every time I watch JG Padgett play, I'm like, what did they get rid of this guy for? Here's a question for you. Best of seven series. Who do you want on your team? JG Padgett, Alex DeBrincat.
Okay, but they're not the same player.
I'm just, you gotta go question. Like, answer the question.
No, but
answer the question.
If it's a playoff, okay, then I want JG Pageau.
Enough said. And I'm not shitting on Alex DeBrincat. It's the importance of the position. He's a center iceman that does so many things for you. If I'm gonna overpay somebody, I'm gonna overpay a center iceman. And I look at Nick Paul.
There is one thing.
Would they get rid? Would they?
You can't win in the National Hockey League without winning down the middle.
Why did they get rid of Pageau anyhow? Was it a money thing? I'm trying to remember.
It's a money thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, and I'm not. I know with ownership the way it was back then, every single player was not re-signed, was traded away. To me, that one really stings because he's a local guy. He speaks both languages. He's bilingual, and he really wanted to be here too. I got so much time because when I watch the game, I look for little things. And when you watch Pageau play the game, he does so many little things out there. Like he makes you earn your ice out there. He battles, he win draws, he kills penalties. Those are the guys you win with come playoff time. And I know the Senators have to get there and you got to score goals to get there. But and the fan base loved him too, with the Pageau chants and all that. Yep. To me, I wouldn't trade guys like that. That's just me.
But then you get into the, you hold on to players too long, and then it comes back to hurt you a bit.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough business. That's like for every trade you win, you make a bad one. And there's been some really good moves here too. Yep. Like you look at the Carlson trade with Norris and. Well, Carlson's playing better right now. How about him? There's another topic, the way he's playing right now. But the Ottawa Senators got a lot of great pieces. He looks great. But still, I do that trade again. And I love Eric as a player. I think he's fantastic. But the players getting those pieces back in return was great for this team. There's been a lot of good moves. So if I'm going to criticize and say this and that, I'll say, too, there's been a lot of excellent moves as well done. And you're not going to win them all. That's the price of business in the NHL, and it's the way it is.
Fair enough. By the way, we'll watch intently for your posting of Yorkie vids on JG Pageau, which I think is coming up soon. But that'll wrap up our show for now.
I was busy last night. I was out at the Elmdale Tavern having a couple oysters.
See, fair enough. You need to have a little break occasionally. So appreciate it, as always, Yorkie, stopping by. That is coming in hot for this show, brought to you by, as always, Renfrew Pro Tape, BEI, and, of course, Barhaven Ford. We'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.